Hello everyone, this is Steve Nelson from BreakpointTrades.com and this is the Sunday, January 24th Commodity Newsletter. All right, today I'm going to begin by looking at bonds via TLT, TNX, and I've also got a look at the 30-year TYX. Then I'll move on to commodities. We'll look at things like copper, oil, of course, natural gas, a few other things. Then I want to move on and look at XLE. I want to do a sample discussion of a valid trigger on a daily time frame, a 60 and a 15 minute. So for those who have the ability to watch the markets during the day, intraday, the 60 and 15 will be appropriate. Otherwise, we'll have to look at the daily. When you have such wide-ranging days, the risk-reward isn't as great on the daily as we well know. Maybe even off the 60-minute, someone who has limited access during the trading day can use as a guide as well. So I'm going to go through that, and what I'm going to talk about here with respect to XLE and an individual stock is really valid on any setup. And I've talked about this and shown numerous examples before, but I want to reiterate that in light of the recent volatility we saw last week. Then I'll move on to the U.S. dollar, precious metals, along with GDX, GDXJ. And then I want to do a valid discussion on triggers daily and 60 again with a couple of individual gold stocks Matt had put on the list. I'll show a couple of those on the daily and 60 and a few others. All right, so let's move on and see what occurred in the currency and commodity area. On the major indexes and market sectors, I'll go through that in the general market newsletter. So if we squeeze down to the currencies, we see the dollar rebounded on Friday nearly 0.5% and closed up nearly 0.6% for the week. Commodities, look down below, pretty much across the board to the upside with the exception of lumber, and this is on Friday, and for the week mainly to the upside, exceptions here, grains, and lumber. But otherwise, primarily to the upside, the leader here was livestock, followed by copper. All right, moving down to energy sectors, crude oil built upon Thursday's advance and gained 8% on Friday. So what we're seeing is a move way down below the moving averages, kind of like a bungee jump and snap back. And this has certainly produced some short covering and maybe a little bargain hunting, that type of thing. So despite falling early last week, it managed to recover and for the week close up 5%. And if you can see, gasoline and heating oil were up quite a bit to the upside, especially heating oil. You know, you've got the big storm into the east. Nat gas was a little quieter during the week, down on Friday, but still up nearly 2% for the week. Then if we move down and look at energy stocks, OIH and XLE, up 3.27% for OIH, 4.5% nearly for XLE. And despite falling sharply lower to begin the week, they recovered and closed up for the week. OIH up 1.25%, XLE up just over 2.5%. Moving on to precious metals, fairly benign day on Friday. Gold fell about 0.3%, silver 0.5%. For the week, they ended up about 0.8% higher. Precious metal ETFs bounced a little on Friday. GDX, GDXJ up 1%, 1.37% respectively. However, they did close down last week slightly. Bonds pulled back again on Friday, and for the week they lost 0.33%. Still in an uptrend, and I'll look at TLT to begin with below. All right, so let's move on, see what's on the economic agenda here in the U.S. for this coming week. Don't have anything on the docket for tomorrow, tomorrow being Monday the 25th. And then you can see on the 26th, we start getting some reports on housing and consumer confidence, etc. throughout the week. The FOMC is meeting this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. They'll have a discussion on Wednesday. And of course, we've got the earnings calendar. On top of that, we've got to pay attention to world events. You know, all eyes have been on China recently with how they're reacting to their slowdown, currency, etc., economic reports. Let's not forget about what's going on in Europe. You know, the migration into Europe has created issues, questions about the ability to mend this and work together, all kinds of issues. You can read about these. The bottom line is I can't cover all aspects. What we are is a technical website. The charts are assimilating the data and forming a picture to the best of their ability of investors' moods, and that's really what it's doing. All right, so let's move on and begin by looking at chart 4, which is a monthly view of TLT. Don't often show this, but I want to show this now. Because at the beginning of the year, TLT, which is a general reflection of bonds, is up nearly 4%, and that's after pulling back from its highs last week. But so far this month, it's up nearly 4%. And, you know, if you're a diversified investor, this would help offset some of the early declines that you've had with respect to equities. The S&P, I think, is down nearly 7% after recovering a little bit last week. For a while, though, it was down 12%. So the question is if you have to be invested for whatever reason, fully or something, make sure that you have at least some type of diversified approach. And it shouldn't necessarily just be limited to stocks and bonds. There will be times where they both rise together and both fall together as well. But with the recent sell-off, money has throughout the month of January so far elected to move into TLT, which is considered more of a safe haven. Doesn't mean that's always going to be the case. Have a plan and trade it accordingly. Now, if we just look at the chart quickly, we can see that the TLT has been in an uptrend for many years. Higher highs, higher lows with the moving averages in a bullish configuration. Have there been pullbacks, some steep along the way? Yes, this is a monthly chart. Now, at the recent highs, we did have some slight MACD divergence, negative divergence, but held on to a support area push back up. Hard to really trade off of a monthly chart, but you can see the uptrend still persisting here. Next, chart 5 shows a weekly view. After pushing up early last week, and it peaked out on Wednesday with the decline in the S&P, we got a reversal candle back down, little shooting star type candle. On the weekly chart, what can we say? We got quite overbought. Came up to prior highs back last summer, right in the 127 area, and then pulled back. If you look, price was extended above its upper Bollinger band on the weekly chart and a fair distance away from those moving averages. And with the stock markets considerably oversold, putting in a reversal, there was some profit taking here. If we look back previously, we had a consolidation pattern going on, and we got a thrust out of that pattern for those looking for valid entries and or trades. Next, chart 6 takes us to a daily view. Here on the daily view, you can see the recent coil that was coiling up for a few months. We got a break, nice back test, a push higher, riding the 9-day moving average up. Again, at Wednesday's high, you see that spinning top candle, very extended, almost completely outside the upper Bollinger band, overbought with slight negative RSI 5 divergence, and since then, we got a pullback to the 9. Next, chart 7 moves us on to TYX. This is the 30-year Treasury yield. When I did the newsletter 2 weeks ago, I said this steep uptrend line as drawn with a dashed line was likely to break down. Steep trend lines up or down usually give way. And you can see that that gave way with yields pulling back before bouncing at the end of the week. Now I've added a lower solid line. So we'll keep an eye on the rates here as they're coiling up in this range, let's say between 2.6 and 3.2 overall. Next, chart 8 moves us on to a daily view. Here again, you can see that rates were rising since early 2015 into the summer, last summer. Then, in conjunction with the market sell-off, remember back in August, September, we saw a sharp decline in yields, a bounce back up corresponding with the move back up in equities, feeling a little better, unable to move up to retest the last summer's highs. And then it formed a coiling pattern between, let's say, late October and December before breaking to the downside here recently. Now, at Friday's lows, you see a little divergence on the RSI 5 oversold and yields bounce back up. Next, chart 9 shows the 10-year rates. This, too, has been coiling up. We haven't seen as pronounced of a move in the 10 years, but we have seen yields drop back since peaking out there in the middle of December. Still watching this coiling pattern exhibited by the solid blue trend lines. Next, and this is a weekly chart. Next, chart 10 shows a daily view. Again, here's an example of a steep trend line, the dashed line, that broke down as money went into bonds, producing a lower yield. We see a pullback in yields, bottoming out on Wednesday and then bouncing back up. Again, same principles here. Getting too far extended away from the 9 leads to a reflex bounce back up, reversion to mean type trade after breaking down out of the pattern. Next, chart 11 shows HYG on the weekly chart. This has been leading down, as you know. We've been talking about this dating back to last fall, last summer. Some of the weakness that has been occurring in high yields, a lot of it attributed to concern about defaults in the energy area, mining areas. Those aren't the only areas with economic weakness, but those have been the sectors with the most concern, clearly because of the commodity prices dropping so sharply. But finally, last week, after getting oversold, we saw a rebound putting in a hammer. You notice a little RSI 5 divergence on the weekly chart. I think that going forward, it's okay to keep HYG on your screen as a little bit of a guide. If you see big moves in HYG up or down during a day, equities are typically going to follow suit. So it is a barometer that's worth watching. For those who have the ability, time, or inclination and are looking for value plays besides stocks, someone could delve into the high yield markets and look for value there. There, you're going to have to deal with some fundamental analysis. You can't just simply look at the charts all the time. You really want to delve into the fundamentals. And honestly, this is where a lot of the pros are searching for value prior to just looking at oversold equities. Remember, bonds fall in line ahead of equities, and in distressed assets, if something were to need to be liquidated, the bondholders are going to be made whole before any equity holder. So again, we'll keep an eye on this as a barometer. We just simply don't have the ability to monitor everything. But this is an area that is worth watching for portfolio considerations. If you can find a solid money manager or something who has done well in the ability to search out depressed high-yield areas and manages to go through turbulence, and I think there's going to be more turbulence. All right, moving on. Chart 12 shows a daily view. Very similar to the S&P, we saw HYG drop down sharply into Wednesday's crescendo selling, bounce back up over the past couple of sessions. And this is why I say it tends to be a decent barometer of equities, especially bigger swings. All right, let's move on now to commodities, beginning chart 13. As we know, CRB, oil, etc., has been at decades lows, and we see CRB coming off of the low made so far this month. I think the low was around 155. Yeah, 154.85. We've bounced back up a little bit off the bottom. But just for perspective, if you go all the way back to the 90s, you can see that prices undercut those previous bottoms. So clearly, this index, commodities in general, after peaking out all the way back in 2008, have been in a pronounced downtrend. They did have a very nice recovery between 2009 and 2011, but it was in 2011 that this started peaking out again and moving down. And that basically happened in conjunction with the emerging markets peaking out in terms of their demand. We started to see weakness coming out of China, Brazil, numerous places, okay. And since 2011, and now it's been nearly 5 years, we've seen lower lows and lower highs in the majority of the commodities. So deflationary forces are evident on these charts. Despite all the money and QE printing, etc., they haven't been able to stymie this. Next, chart 14 shows a weekly view of CRB. Again, you can see the stair-stepping down. We've had some bear flags along the way. Our focus now is on the recent action, and we do have a hammer candlestick largely on the reaction in oil last week. Make no mistake, this is still in a pronounced downtrend, so it has a lot of resistance areas to deal with if it were to continue to probe higher. Simply put, price got very extended to the downside away from its 5 and 9 week moving average, and it's kind of pulling itself back up towards there. We did see some slight divergence on the RSI at the recent low, little bounce back up. Honestly, it's hard to look at a weekly chart here and get a great entry because the risk reward is not so great. You need to refine it down to a smaller time frame, but it shows perspective of how far oversold we were here at last week's lows. Next, chart 15 shows a daily view. Now, this does allow for a valid entry. And you can see since October, we've had a couple of symmetry moves to the downside. Got oversold again on Wednesday into the bottom. And with price oversold, a little divergence on the RSI 5, got a reversal candle that would have triggered long on Thursday and a follow-through on Friday. Now, CRB directly is not tradable, but the DBC, which I'll show next, is. And so far, this has been a pretty decent rally here. What have we had? Low to high, about 8 points. So we've got a potential to break some short-term symmetry here. But if I look back in August and again in October, we've had rallies of 12 points and another rally of 17 points. Symmetry is a guide. That's all it is. So what we've got to do is focus in on making objective entries and then trading it in terms of our exit strategies in accordance with your specific objectives. So let's move on and look at chart 16. Now this is a tradable instrument, DBC. As you can see at Wednesday's low, we got a doji candlestick. Bottom of the Bollinger Band, oversold on all the indicators, and allowing for a decent risk-reward setup. Why do I say that? price is a fair distance away from the 9, oversold. We've got a fairly narrow range candle on Wednesday. So moving above that high on Wednesday, we could trigger long with a stop at Wednesday's lows. And then Thursday, you see we got pretty much a bullish engulfing candle. We could raise our stops immediately to around 50% of that candle after our entry. So we'd be around break even. And then lo and behold, we get a nice gap up on Friday to our initial target area. Now the question is, what's your plan to take some profits? But here's an example of a lower risk entry. And maybe you could even refine that further with a 60-minute chart. Next, chart 17 shows a 60-minute view. So if we go back to Wednesday's bottom, we see a little hammer candlestick down here. Buy above that, roughly around even below 1180, you would have triggered long. Risk very little. Takes a while to dissipate this type of downside momentum, and you can see the move back up. Is it gangbusters? No, but it's solid and steady, and it's an example of a lower risk entry. So you can refine your entry onto the 60-minute chart after looking at the daily chart. And I'm going to go through several examples of that below. Now, where do we stand? We stand at some horizontal resistance, just shy of it. Doesn't mean it can't push through here, but now chasing something overbought is less objective. So we'd prefer for a new entry to see an unwind and look for a higher low, or perhaps a double bottom, something like that. If you're long, continue to trim and trail in accordance with your objectives. Next, chart 18 moves us on to DBA. DBA, after making the lower lows this week, managed to bounce up. More of a doji, but slight upside. Little RSI, we have some RSI divergence on the 5, as well as the 14 and a little bit there on the fast-moving CCI. Now remember, this is a weekly chart. Next, chart 19 shows DBA on the daily. Back in November, December, it formed a bearish diamond. We got a breakdown out of that pattern. This too, like most everything, bottomed on Wednesday and has had a little rebound off of an oversold condition. Again, look for supporting evidence, and there it is. Next, let's look at a few components within the ag area. And by the way, we're going to endeavor to search out a few of these setups. But if you're looking for other plays that may have a little less volatility, maybe go to the ag sector and look at some of the predominant or widely held ETFs and be on the lookout for setups. So here's an example, chart 20, JO, that I put on the trading community. And you can see a falling wedge. Matt showed this, I think, the other day, with some RSI 5 divergence at the low on Wednesday. It tends to be gappy. That's the issue with trading some of these commodity ETFs. If you're not able to look at the futures, sometimes you don't get as good entries, or you've got to pass because you get too big of a gap. But you can see a valid setup, gap to the upside. It would have gapped over my trigger here on Thursday, to be honest with you. And then we got a little push to the upside. So this is what happens a lot of times with the commodities, especially the more volatile ones. Crude oil, sometimes coffee. But again, it's just something to consider adding to your arsenal, especially if you're saying, man, these markets are too volatile. Steve says to move down to the intraday time frames. Well, I'm working or I have other obligations. I can't do that. Well, then let's look at something that may have a little less volatility and shift down and consider those as potential opportunities for trades or potential swing trades. Now, again, like most everything, these have been in downtrends not only on their daily but weekly charts. So until we start to see the larger time frames improve, we have to go in with the mindset first and foremost of trades. We need to see stronger moves up that break symmetry, higher lows established, get the moving averages turning in a bullish configuration for swing trades. Next, chart 21 moves us on to corn. I remember showing this 2 weeks ago. I know it's boring, slower moving, but it was a valid entry here off of this little doji candle trigger way back in first week of 2016. Slow mover, but it has moved up. Valid entry. Next, chart 22, another one that I showed a couple weeks ago. When I showed it 2 weeks ago, we had a dashed falling wedge. See, it popped out of the falling wedge. If you look, the measured move is the distance of the widest point of the falling wedge. That was achieved. I can just eyeball it and say that it was roughly achieved at 9:33. Then it's pulled back and it's trying to form now a little handle of some sort. And we've drawn in another potential wedge to watch. Again, not earth-shattering and still dealing with a bearish configuration of the moving averages, but less stressful and a valid setup. All right, so let's move on to crude oil. The talk of the town, or the talk of the street, especially the last few days. Crude oil on the monthly chart, you know, has been in a pronounced downtrend. Everybody knows that. We took out even the 2009 lows, moved down to as low as, remember, this is just spot price. The futures on the February contract got in the 26s, but the spot price low, 27.56. This, you have to go all the way back to 2003 to find prices in those ranges. Now, with that said, we're tracking on the monthly chart potential falling wedge. Monthly charts, I'm certainly not going to look to trade off of. They're just a longer-term perspective. You can see there is some divergence here on a few of the oscillators. Next, chart 24 shows a weekly view. Here I've refined this. Still has the look of a little bit of a falling wedge. Is it ideal? No. Just drawing it in, okay, as something to form a visual pattern. But what we can say is we saw prices at last week's lows diverging on the RSI 5 and 14 compared to previous lows. We don't have that really in place on the PPO unless we go back longer. But shorter term, we don't. But with price very oversold, a long ways away from the 9-week moving average, need to be looking for some snapbacks. And we did get a snapback rally towards the end of last week. Is it something that I was going to trade off the weekly chart? Not trigger off the weekly chart? Not really. What I look at is say, man, that's a long ways away. Let me shift down to the daily chart and see if I can lower my entry risk. So let's move on to chart 25. And I've got a couple of daily charts. Chart 25, I had the crude oil moving down in a falling channel. We can see that it found some support near the lower boundary of the channel. Extremely oversold at Wednesday's low with some RSI 5 divergence. I had a bearish engulfing candle on Wednesday, taking back 50% of that range. Trigger long with a stop at 27.56. Did I know, or did anybody know it was going to snap back to 32 in 2 days? No, but it's an objective entry. Next, chart 26 shows a zoomed-in shot of crude oil. Again, you can see kind of a falling wedge pattern. The trigger would have come probably around the 29 area, maybe a little below that. Again, on the daily chart, the risk-reward was decent. You're risking maybe, I think the entry would have been around 29. You're risking a buck and a half to maybe make 3, 2 to 1. And if you go to your smaller time frames, your risk reward would have been even better. Next, Chart 27, USO on the daily chart. See the reversal candle on Thursday. And this was nice because USO didn't gap up on Thursday. So we got a little doji hammer type candlestick on Wednesday. Opened up slightly down on Thursday and then moved above Wednesday's high. You could have triggered long there with a stop and then adjusted accordingly along the way. Next, chart 28 shows a 60-minute view. So for those who are able to scan during the intraday, could have maybe gotten an entry all the way down here around $8 on Wednesday's low. Then you see on Thursday, we got a little gap to the downside. And instead of waiting for maybe it to take out 837, you see this opening bar. It's a little red doji on Thursday. Moving above that, you could trigger long with a stop even as tight as 806 or at the previous lows, and boom, to the upside. Now where do we stand? We stand near some previous highs. No signs of a reversal at Friday's close, so this could push higher. I'm not going to trigger long pushing through this on a 60-minute chart with it way overbought. If I'm already long, I'll trail it up, try to squeeze out a little more. But for me, I'm going to be patient and wait for a new valid entry on a pullback. Will it or will it not form a handle or an inverse head and shoulder? Who knows? We've seen these fail and come back down. It's just something to monitor. The key is we're looking for objective entries and managing your existing trades. The objective entry on the 60-minute chart would have come on Wednesday or Thursday down here. All right, so let's move on to XLE, chart 29. We'll begin with the daily chart. As you know, XLE moved down, plunged with crude oil prices on Wednesday, bottoming out XLE at below 50, put in a reversal candlestick, not a complete hammer as we didn't come back up to the highs, but retraced quite a few of the losses, a long-legged doji, and then this set up on the daily chart for a buy above Wednesday's highs. And that would have been roughly 52.5, I'm eyeballing it. So write that down, 52.5. But I would have had to risk all the way down to 49.93. You see what I mean? That's the daily setup. So when I look, the 9 EMA as my initial target was around 54.5. No. Risk reward, barely 1-to-1, maybe not even 1-to-1. Not the greatest, but I did have supporting evidence that said, you know what, even though the risk reward on the daily isn't just super, it's still pretty decent because I've got divergence on all three of my indicators above, and I've got a long-legged doji candlestick. And I'm far enough away from these moving averages that there is some meat on the bone. And lo and behold, Thursday already I achieved the 5 EMA, and Friday, not only the 9, I gapped above it. So, if trading off the daily time frames, yes, there is more risk reward because you've got to allow a wider stop. But it was telling me that there was an objective setup here. Now, if I have the ability to refine it and move the risk down, I'd move next to something like a 60-minute chart. So let's move on to chart 30 and look at XLE. Right? For intraday traders, and this could even apply to a trader that's looking to refine his entry off of a daily chart. So I want to show a couple of things here because some of the things in my tutorial are not practiced correctly by members because they see just a simple red candle and taking back 50% of it, they think, oh, that's a great signal no matter what, without looking at additional evidence. So this is going to be a little educational piece, little reminder. On the 60-minute chart, we see prices plunging Tuesday, Wednesday. Then we see prices get a solid red candle way below the lower Bollinger Band around 10 o'clock where I have the number one. And someone says, well, I'm going to look here at 50% of that range, and that range would have been $50.82. Okay? On the 60-minute chart, I've got some slight RSI divergence on the 5, very slight, nothing on the 14, a little bit on the CCI, indicating I could get some type of bounce. There's enough room between here and the 9. I have nothing supporting it on the MACD or histogram, and I certainly don't have a pattern. What I've got is a straight drop, waterfall drop. Okay? So if I was going to take this trade or examine this trade on where number one is, I would go down to my 15-minute chart and look for supporting evidence. That's what I would do. And say, can I get in at a better opportunity for a quicker trade? Or is there something on the 15-minute that's really supporting a better bounce back? We'll look at that in a minute. There really wasn't anything great. But we can see that the next candle popped up and would have triggered you long off the 60-minute chart, right? And then the very next candle would have stopped you out, the stop being right there in red. So 50.82, I would have stopped out at 50.42. Not bad. Not bad risk, reward, terrible for trying to make it to the 9. The problem is that I didn't really have a lot of supporting evidence. So you can take this trade. It's just not a high probability trade because the supporting evidence wasn't in place. But then if we look two candles later, we see a hammer candlestick. That's a much better bottoming or reversal candlestick, isn't it, guys? I think so. You can check the literature. So where I have two in parentheses is a hammer candlestick. At that high was 50.67. So breaking above that high, I could trigger long with a stop at 49.93 with a target at least to the 9 EMA on the 60-minute chart. If not, normally a move back to the middle Bollinger Band. So that's way up here at 52.5 or better. So the risk reward was decent there. And if we shift down to our 15-minute chart, there was additional evidence that this is a good trade. Okay? So off the 60-minute time frame, we would have triggered long, and then we'd make decisions along the way to where to take profits. That's up to you to decide what's right for you. You can utilize, some of these moving averages as profit guides. You can shift to your smaller time frames. What you may do is on a big move like up to 52.55 or something like this, on the 5-minute chart it would have stopped you out on something. Take partial profits, give it a little room. Again, it's all up to the time frame you're trading on. But what I want to point out is searching for objective entries in a methodical manner. Forget about what they say on TV. Turn off all the noise and look at these candles, and they only happen once every hour. So now let's shift down. And if I'm going to be looking at the XLE, I've got a daily, a 60, and a 15-minute chart all prepared, etc. If I'm an intraday trader, only able to trade off daily, then I might just have the daily and a 60 as a guide. So let's shift down to the chart 31 and look at a 15-minute chart. Okay? Back here, number one, where the first green is, that would have been a 15-minute trigger. That kind of coincided with the 60-minute chart. I could refine my risk for an entry down to 50.68 instead of 50.82. The stop is the same at 50.42. But again, even on the 15-minute chart, I didn't have a lot of great evidence. I had some slight RSI 5 divergence, which I don't pay attention to on the 15-minute chart. It's too quick of an oscillator on this time frame. I use the RSI 5 on the 60 and above. The RSI 14 at that early low on January 20th, the 10 o'clock low, did not have any divergence. I certainly didn't have a pattern, did I? So I had a solid bearish engulfing candle. It was not yet below the lower Bollinger band on the 15-minute chart. So when I take all that into consideration, maybe I get a bounce trade. Maybe I can shift down to a 5-minute chart and squeak something out. But for me, I prefer to wait for more evidence. Do I always get it? No, but most of the time I do. And by being patient, I see that the bounce failed. Someone taking that trade would have been stopped out. And then we came down. And I got a solid bearish engulfing candle, followed by a little red doji. Now that little red doji was an inside candle on the 15. It lined up pretty much with 50% of the solid red. I have divergence in place on all my indicators. Even the MACD is flattening out. And I've got a little pattern forming here, right? A little falling wedge. All right? So my lower risk entry at 50.21 with a stop at 49.93. So I could have improved my entry on the 60-minute setup all the way down to 50.21 instead of 50.67. I'm risking less than 30 cents. Now, on the 15-minute chart, because I have a pattern, I've got an initial measured move up here to around 50.75 area. All right? So that's, and look what happens. The measured move of the pattern takes us up right to there, and then it pulls back a little bit. This often happens. Doesn't mean it can't go higher, but that's my initial target. And what happens is this is such a strong move down, it takes a while to dissipate the downside momentum. You'll see that on the 60 as well. That's why picking exact bottoms shakes a lot of people out. They start to feel confident. It's going up. Okay. They finally get in instead of using a valid trigger after they're convinced it's going up. And then it shakes them out. And then they get out and say, damn it, it's coming back down. I got to get back out. Okay. And then it puts in a higher low and then it takes off. So it's emotional trading and not having a systematic approach, keeping a clear head. So maybe someone said, you know what, this is a nice little trade out of the wedge. I'm going to take partial profits, and then I'm going to give the balance of my entry room back down to the stop at 49.93. Now, you see a little doji candle form, and you say, oh, wow, I've got a doji. The stuff that I sold, I can consider buying back above that doji high, and that would have been below 50.50. That's one way. Or you're off the 60-minute, and you're going to give it that type of room. You have to decide what's right for you. What I'm pointing out here is the risk-reward and utilizing these various time frames to support your entry and provide more evidence. Okay, enough of this. Let's move on. Chart 32, here's another example on a daily chart. OKE came down on Wednesday, essentially to a double bottom. On the daily chart, it would have triggered above Wednesday's high. You see the result. Look at the divergence that formed at that near double bottom on the MACD. And then we had shorter-term divergence on the RSI 5. Next, for those who could refine the entry, they could go down and go, oh my goodness, look at this on the 60-minute chart. It's plunging down on Wednesday's lows, and I get a nice doji at the lows, down around 19.5. Now, Steve says, man, with these real strong trends, it takes a while to dissipate the downside momentum. So I get an initial pop-up, pulls back, forms a higher low, and then takes off. But on a 60-minute chart, making an entry at 19.5, a little lower, pops up probably 80 cents for you, then you get a decision. Man, is that enough to take a little bit off? See, off this 60, I trigger, and then I'd shift to a smaller time frame, remember, off of an, if you're an intraday chart trader. And probably here on a 5-minute chart or something, you would have got overbought and a little pullback. If you're just purely off the 60, nothing else, your stop would have been at 1898, and you give it room. Now, once you start taking out the previous highs, then you're going to adjust your stop upward. And what a trade. Study these. Next, let's speed things up. Chart 34, Nat Gas. Pulled back out of a rising wedge with negative divergence. Found some support bouncing back up. Nothing special here. Almost looks like a little bear flag pattern on the daily. We'll see. Next, chart 35. On UNG, it has a little better look. We pop up. It's trying to round out a little bottom. We'll see. Again, you can set your parameters with lower risk stops off of these candles. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to make objective trades. Chart 36, here's UNG on the 60. We talked about it pulling back, came back, remember, and filled the gap. Now it's coiling up here. This could resolve in either direction. Next, chart 37, copper. On the weekly chart, got oversold. There is some divergence. We got a little bounce back last week. Next, chart 38, here's a zoomed in view of copper. As you can see on the weekly chart, monitoring this falling wedge. On the weekly chart, someone could have triggered long, but I would have refined that, of course, to the daily chart. By the way, I meant to mention on the previous chart the strong trends that have been in place. Okay? And we can see this on chart 38. Look at the 9, 20, and 50. They're all bearishly configured. And if we go back to the previous chart on chart 37, I'm not going to go back there, but you can see that since 2011, we've been stair-stepping down. No one knew in 2011 that we were going to be in such a pronounced downtrend, but adhering to the trend was a smart idea. On equities, if we are in just the beginnings of a downtrend, let's not lose sight of those moving averages and how important they are. Okay? Next. Chart 39, here's the daily view of copper. I drew a bear flag. We broke down out of the bear flag, got oversold. We did have some divergence. Look, the MACD, the RSIs, all diverged at that 193 low, and we're getting a retrace back up. Will it be something that can strengthen? We'll see. I'm not trading copper. I have to limit what I'm focused in on, but you can see the technicals providing the short setup and then the bounce. Next, let's move on to the dollar. One of the things we got to keep an eye on is the dollar. You see the pronounced move that occurred back in 2014 and 2015. This is what's creating so much havoc in the emerging markets. The dollar moved, as you can see, from roughly 80 to 100. That is a big, big move in a short period of time. You're talking about a 25% move. 80 to 100 is 25%. And as a result, we saw a lot of downward pressure, not just on the euro and the yen during that time. We saw bigger downward moves on some of the emerging market currencies. The Canadian dollar even suffered commodity-based. Australian dollar, South African rand, Mexican peso, Brazilian real. Some of these currencies fell significantly more than 20-25% against the dollar. And they borrow in U.S. dollar denominated. Their borrowings were dollar denominated. So they thought they might have to pay back, let's say they borrowed $100 million. Okay? Well, just on currencies alone, now they got to pay back $150 million, not including the interest. This is what's created a lot of the unrest. How it all unfolds remains to be seen. We'll continue to monitor the charts. Chart 41, weekly view, talked about this before. We had a double top that led to a pullback. So far, it's trying to carve out a little handle here holding support. We'll see if this amounts to a bear flag or a stronger handle and elects to break out again. For now on the weekly chart, still holding all the support areas with the moving averages in a bullish configuration. The double top did lead to a valid pullback. Next, chart 42 shows the U.S. dollar on the daily. We see the rising wedge breakdown, and since then we've been stair-stepping higher, holding the moving averages on the pullback. The question is this morphing into like a little slanted head and shoulders bear flag down, or can we break out of this with the cup and handle pattern? This would be the handle here. For now, price is holding above support. Next, chart 43. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the relationship between the U.S. dollar yen and equities. You can see the head and shoulder type pattern on the dollar yen. We got a break of the neckline. This coincided with the big plunge in equity markets. And you can see that the yen has bounced back, the dollar yen, the last couple of days. You can really see it on the next chart. Chart 44 shows a candlestick view. Dollar yen moving down. All right, that means the yen was strengthening against the dollar. Okay, moving down. All right, then the last couple of days, we saw the dollar-yen moving to the upside. So the yen was weakening somewhat, dollar strengthening, and boom, up. And what happened? The S&P mirrors it. Again, this is something along with like HGY that I use as a barometer. Is it perfect? No. A lot of rookie traders and rookies want people to come in and tell them, oh, just follow this. It'll tell you everything. Okay? Here's the holy grail. Just tell us what to do, Steve. We, you know, you got a crystal ball. Anybody who just says, you know, things are that objective, perfectly objective, no subjectivity, it's a science, get rid of them. There is no perfect holy grail. There really isn't. Now, are there barometers and objectivity in terms of entries in that? Yeah, I've discussed them ad nauseum here again today. So these are some things that I watch. Choose what works for you. Next, chart 45, gold on the monthly. So far it's up $37 plus this month, up 3.5%. I view gold as an insurance type policy, especially when it offers a valid setup. In the on the monthly chart, we're coming down to some support, getting a little bounce. Next, chart 46 on the weekly view, you can see us bouncing off a support. Last week, we were up just shy of 10 bucks. Next, chart 47 on the daily chart, we refined the entries, popped out of the coil. So far, holding above these moving averages. No change from Thursday's comments. Trade your plan. Have a plan. Execute it appropriately. Next, chart 48. Recently, I identified a support area, too. We breached the initial support. Certainly didn't get any trigger there. It came down to the second support area. That held, and we got a trigger off of that for a bounce back up. So I did provide an area to look for a long after putting in a little double bottom, and so far that's proved to at least provide a trade. Next, chart 49, I got this idea from P.W. Bailey, one of the astute members on the blog. He had drew a little semicircle, a nice little rounded bottom on the two-hour view. So after triggering long on your daily chart, which I talked about, maybe you've taken some profits or not, here's like a little rounding action to watch. If it wants to push higher, here's a couple of open gap targets to monitor. This is the type of basing action you need to potentially launch a stronger move. The question is, will it sustain or is it going to break down out of here? We'll see. Next, chart 50 shows silver on the weekly. Just remains narrow range trading. Moving averages in a bearish configuration, bouncing along. Nothing earth-shattering here on the weekly chart. Next, chart 51 on the daily chart. I've managed now to clean this up. We had a steeper trend line that was breached, and now I've cleaned this up and tightened it up. The silver, as you can see, is tightening up. The moving averages are all on top of each other. We've got converging trend lines. It remains to be seen how this resolves. All right. Next, chart 52 on the weekly chart, GDX. Down a little bit this week, still mirrored in this little descending triangle type pattern. This can resolve either way. Even if we get a little breakdown, we have to be careful of a false break reversal back up from an oversold condition. Next, chart 53 on the daily chart. We saw a plunge last week down to retest the September lows, actually undercut it slightly before getting a rebound back up from oversold. No great pattern on the daily chart, but for those looking for an objective trade entry, they say, wow, look at this daily chart, it's oversold. Can I go to an intraday chart and refine my entry? Perhaps, but you can see the next day it gapped to the upside. We get a lot of gaps on this. Oversold, little bounce back up so far to the 9. Next, chart 54, here's a little 30-minute view. You can see the pronounced decline into the lows back on Monday. I think the lows were on Tuesday the 19th. Monday was a holiday. Then we formed a higher low on Thursday. Chopping along here. It takes a while to dissipate the downside momentum, and now you see the moving average is starting to improve a little bit. We'll see. Next, chart 55. Here's a 15-minute view. You can see the plunge and stair-stepping higher now. Moving averages are trying to provide some support. The bullish hopes would be some type of cup and handle here. Problem is we just don't have a lot of uniformity in the individual stocks. So you got to really narrow it down to your entries and to succeed. Next, chart 56, GDXJ on the daily chart. Bear flag broke down and then got oversold, getting a bounce. Next, chart 57, the GDXGLD ratio. You can see was in a pronounced decline before trying to come together here a little bit. All right, next. I'm not going to spend as much time as I did above, but here's a couple of ideas that Matt showed on the daily chart. So AG on the daily chart had a hammer chart candlestick. You see it's bounced back to the 9. Next, if we were able to refine this on the 60-minute chart, we'd see a falling wedge. It supported the daily hammer, and we could even refine our entry. See, our entry here would have been 245. Initial target was the wedge. That played out, got a higher low, and pushed up. Next, chart 60. Here's a view of TRQ on the daily chart, hammer candlestick. Our entry would have been up here around 170-something. Maybe we could refine that on the 60. Next, chart 61. Ooh, if I look at TRQ on the 60-minute, I see a falling channel with divergence, a capitulation, big bearish engulfing candle. I had an entry point here below 165. Just showing things that work, guys. It's all I can do is teach. Tell you what, if you start employing some of these practices instead of just guessing or listening to some clown on TV tell you what he wants to buy, you'll be a lot more successful. Next, chart 62. Here's a daily view of FNV. Chopping around, broke down, and now look at these candles down here. These are hesitation candles at an oversold area. So off the daily chart, this